Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, life-transforming advice, shir number 17. And people frequently say that this person made me sad or this person made me upset, which implies that it's external factors that's the cause of one's emotion and that they can't do anything about it. But the reality is that the external events cannot really make you sad or upset. You do it by yourself, by telling yourself whatever it is about those external events. So it's better to use the habit of saying, I make myself sad because of what I tell myself about this other person's actions or words. I make myself upset because of what I tell myself when this happens. When you speak in those terms, you're accepting responsibility for your reactions. And this will be an incentive to change your thoughts and attitudes and to make you happier. Now, there is no question that there's something called a noas devarim. If someone causes pain with words, it's understandable that it will hurt you. So if you're a subject to someone yelling at you or screaming at you or insulting you, it makes sense that you would be upset. That's human nature. So it's understandable. But what one still can do to protect themselves is to recognize this fact that ultimately I could choose how I'm going to react to this. I don't need to get shaken up by this. Or this should not affect my self-esteem or thoughts about myself just because someone is yelling or insulting me. And by practicing this, it's not always easy, but by practicing this, you'll learn not to allow external factors to disturb you. It's a work, and it's a work in progress, but it's a doable skill that can be learned over time. Another thing is you have the ability to view an event or situation in many different ways. Rabbi Yerucham Lavovitz made this observation. He said that when a person is born, he finds the world in a certain organized way, and then he grows up, he tries to adjust himself to the assumptions that are accepted to the world. And he starts viewing the events like the way other people in his generation view it, which is based on his past and what he was given over to him, parent to child, and environment. And we assume that this is the way things ought to be. We accept this as reality and we don't challenge it. Only a minority of people obtain the necessary wisdom to look at the world objectively, to take a critical look at each and every aspect of the world and of everything, and to understand what it really is, instead of just assuming the general outlook of your culture or your country. And therefore, when you do this, you'll see things in a totally different light. That applies to people that are living in a certain culture, even within Yiddishkeit itself. So it's very important to understand things and try to look at things with an objective, clear lens. Another thing is that's important to realize that very often if someone's optimistic, they get criticism. You're not being realistic. But that's a misconception. The half glass full or half empty analogy that people talk about is true. They're both real. Both views are correct. The glass is half full. The glass is half empty. What's your emphasis? What's your emphasis? In all aspects of life, that's what it applies. We choose what we will focus on, and we choose how we will view it. So that is an important insight as well. Another thing that's fascinating, it's a story that's brought down. At the end of World War II, Simon Wiesenthal, he was a Nazi hunter. Basically, after the war, he brought Nazi criminals to justice. So he was in a concentration camp, and a new arrival smuggled a sitter, and Wiesenthal admired his courage for risking death. But then his feelings changed because he found out that this smuggler who was smuggled this sitter was bartering the 15-minute rental of his sitter in exchange for a fourth of the day's rations of food. In other words, the inmates were emaciated, but they're willing to give anything for a siddur, for 15 minutes with the siddur. And in order to get that siddur, they had to give some of their food away. What happened was the siddur owner died before everyone else because he ate too much. The huge quantities of soup was too much for his shriveled system, and he died. So anyway, this is what happened. After the war, Rabbi Eliezer Silver, Zecher Tzadik Avrocha, visited the, it was called the displaced persons camp after the concentration camps, on behalf of Ad Hatzolah, and he arranged tefillos and words of encouragement for the survivors. But he noticed Simon Wiesenthal did not come to shul. And Rabbi Silver visited him. And he said, Simon Wiesenthal said that the night Rabbi Silver came to me, he was a small man, wore an American uniform without an insignia. He had a small white beard. His eyes shone bright with great kindness. He must have been at least 75 years old, but his mind was sharp. His voice was youthful. And he put his hand on my shoulder and says, "So tell me you're angry with the Almighty," he said in Yiddish, and he smiled at him. And Simon Wiesenthal said, "I'm not upset at him, I'm at Hashem meaning, but I'm upset at one of his servants." And he said what happened about this person who bartered the siddur to get food. And he kept smiling. And he says, "That's all you need to tell me?" He says, "Isn't that enough?" So he said, "You silly man," he said in a nice, warm way. So you're looking at the man who took something, right? Why don't you instead look at the men who gave something? Which means basically is the men who were willing to give up their food to daven. Look at those people. And he touched him and he left. And Simon Wiesenthal said he went to davening the next day. And he always tried to remember from then on that there's two sides to look at everything. And that's something we need to know also. We get burned sometimes by people. But we need to see a healthy other side of a situation that will help us in life. Child raising is an example. It could be a very painful experience and difficult for many. But it's also an exciting challenge to mold and educate a human being to fulfill their potential. So a parent could be burdened by the childbearing and child raising. But when you shift the focus to bringing out the potential of a person, it fills a person with a special warmth and excitement and sense of purpose. Try to always look at something positive in every negative situation. Poverty can cause a lot of hardship, but many of them compound their problems by being upset that they're a burden to those who assist them. But if a poor person focuses on the fact it's not his fault he's being poor, that he's enabling others to do chesed for him, and he's, like Rabbi Akiva said, he's bringing them to Chayol Mabo. So the key is, it's not always easy, but it's a task to try our best to view every negative situation, seemingly negative situation, and look at it in a positive way. If you clean up your house because you're forced to, you may find it unpleasant. But if you're cleaning it up and you're saying it's L'Kavod Shabbos, or it's Kibbud Av V'Em, or because of whatever mitzvah, then you'll have a pleasure in doing it. Washing the dishes could be hard physical labor. But if you're thinking about, you're serving Hashem. Vigdamala said that you're washing dishes, L'Shem Shemayim, and your upkeep of a family, it's like being makav carbon on the Mizbeach. And you have those elevated thoughts. It totally transforms that activity from the mundane and brings a degree of simcha, a degree of purpose. So that's very, very important. And the key really is to cherish moments of opportunity to think about the Chasdei Hashem. And you use these opportunities to learn more about yourself and think of ways to improve and think along the lines of connecting with Hashem in every free moment. And it'll give you a tremendous amount of nachas ruach and simcha. Bracha and hatzlacha.